So the conference is being recorded. The participants are still joining. And as I mentioned, this call is going to be co-led by Joanne Bangs, by Bill Rentz, and by me, Dave Ellis. And I started the recording. And you can listen to this again or pass it on to a friend. If you were registered for this call, you got an email this afternoon, or you might have gotten two. And if you have iTunes, you can just click on a button on that email, and it will download this call to your iTunes at the end of this call. Now, if you don't have iTunes, you can download it for free, whether you have a Mac or a PC. And the directions for downloading that and installing it on your computer are very easy, and they are also in the email that I sent you this afternoon. Now, if for some reason you didn't get that email, but yet you did sign up for this workshop, just send me an email, dave@fallingawake.com, and I'll send you the links for that. So we've started the recording. I'll turn it over to Bill to describe some of our conference call protocol.
Yes, Dave, sorry, I'm a little distracted. This new technology is a bit complicated. But we're working on a new system, and that's partly what we're dealing with here. But we have your numbers that you're calling in on. And so if you would like to ask a question, you just raise your hand, and we can see that electronically by hitting star 61 on your keypad on your phone, and that will indicate to us that you have a question, and then we will call on you by taking you off mute and letting you know that, you know, we'll probably let you know the area code or part of the phone number so we know who you are, and then we'll take you off mute and you can ask your question. If you ask a question by raising your hand, by hitting star 61, and you decide that you don't want to ask the question anymore, or let's say somebody else asked it and you no longer have it, please hit star 62, and then electronically that will take you, that'll lower your hand. So we don't have to go through that logistic if your question's already been answered. We ask that you have paper and a pencil or a pen. We're going to do some exercises, and we'd like you to take notes. So please have something to write on and write with so that you're prepared to do that.
Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate that you all have joined this call, and because for me, you are here to assist in invention, in co-creating the most powerful way that we can all be leaders in our future. I think that it's really time now for leaders to step up and lead our country, lead our organizations, lead our families and our churches, lead every group that we can think of in the direction that we want, not the direction that we fear it's going, not the direction in which other people say it should be going, but in the direction that you and I want it to go. So thanks for taking your time and helping me co-create. Not only co-create today, but on our next calls. And the way I see that we co-create is by your questions, by your reactions to what I'm speaking, but mostly by your listening. Because I know who you are on the call. I've got the list right here in front of me on the computer. And every time somebody joins the call, my list gets updated. Right now there's 79 people on this phone call. And I know by looking at your phone numbers and then the phone numbers that you sent in who's on the call. And, of course, a lot of you introduced yourself at the beginning, but it's that power of who you are in my life. Some dear friends on this phone call, some people who I've had in many workshops on this phone call, people from around the world, as I mentioned, on this phone call, from China and France and South Korea and across Canada, all across the United States. And it's that listening that you provide that I know that many people that I respect as much as I do you, that just keeps me on my toes. I've been thinking about this call all week long. I've been so excited about it. I'm already thinking about the next two and then the next one after that, the next one after that. And it's because of you and the respect I have for you that I intend to say something that will be dramatically beneficial. Now, I'd like to hear from several of you. And the way you do that is you just electronically raise your hand. And I get to see that electronic hand raise right on the screen. And then I get to know that who that person is. And so please do that. Matter of fact, I'm going to give an example right now. We've got Manju Jane. And Manju, I'm going to call on you, and you can make your comment or ask your question.
I'm sorry, Dave. I just wanted to say hi. I'm sorry about that. I just caught you in the tail end of that *61, so I pressed it. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Well, that's how you get to say hello. So thanks, Manju. Now we've got someone else also answering, raising his or her hand, and I'll that's from area code 409. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave. It's Sandra Ellington from Texas. How are you?
Hi, Sandra. I'm doing great.
It is so good to hear you. And I'm so proud.
That's how that hand raising works, Sandra. You just dial *61, and then you then I call on you.
Great.
But before I call on any of the rest of you, what I'm going to do is to tell you about the purpose of this call. First and foremost, the purpose of this call is to assist you to improve your leadership. I'm going to do that by presenting my best ideas on leadership on this and the next three calls, and then ask you to invent and commit to new ways that you will be a more effective leader. So I'll present my best ideas, but then I want you to invent. I want you to invent by taking whatever idea I have and making it your own. Now, you may not like my idea, in which case you turn it on its head and commit to that. If you like the idea, then you still turn it a bit, make it fit for you, and commit to that. So that's the purpose of the call. Also, to officially launch my new work, this new work focused on leadership. And then I also want to preview the three other leadership calls. I want to give you a little preview of an upcoming leadership training that I'm going to be doing, and also something that we call the leadership series. So that's the purpose of the call. Again, thank you for taking your time and being committed and being interested in my work. Turn it over to Joanne.
The format of the call will primarily be in the form of questions. So I have some questions for Dave, Bill has some questions, and then we'd really like you to have your questions. Some of these we've thought of beforehand, but some of them will be surprises. So we want to have Dave be able to be spontaneous, do his best thinking, and answer your questions. And we're going to divide this call into three areas. The first one will be on the shift from falling awake. I've known Dave for 14 years, and he's been doing that work of falling awake the whole time that I've known him, and it's now shifting to leadership. The second part of the call will be on leadership. And then the third part of the call will be about the next three calls, our next training that's coming up in June, and then a new series that we have that we've created that's called the Leadership Series. So I'd like to start with the first question. So Dave,
okay.
For me, okay?
Will this be one of those ones I know that's coming, or is this going to be one of
those
surprises?
Well, let's see. Well, just be on your toes. I'm not sure. Well, I think what people have been asking me has been, why have you changed and why leadership? So why the shift and why leadership?
Oh, yeah. Well, the shift came out of some work I was doing with my life coach, Stan Lankiewicz, in December. And every year I take out a whole block of time and say, what's the best use of a life given this much good fortune? And those of you who have been to the workshops that I've taught in the past know how often I recommend that question. Again, it's what is the best use of a life given this much good fortune? And I started to look at that and said, well, now, how do I want to shift my work? Because I felt there was a time for a shift. I've been doing this falling awake for about the last 14 or 15 years. Before that, as many of you know, I worked with students and teachers around the country, helping students be more effective in school. I did that for about 14 years. So I wanted a shift, and I kept looking for what could shift that, and it came out of a commitment. And what I committed to was to contribute more in the next 15 years than I have in the past 30. To contribute significantly more, like make a much bigger difference through my work in the next 15 years than I have in the past 30. And it was out of that commitment that I saw that I wanted to take a shift. It was time to shift. Also, I've been working with leaders, but I wanted to make it more obvious. For the last 10 years, we've been coaching leaders of nonprofits all around the country. But we do that under this umbrella, under this branding and name of Falling Awake. But a lot of people, when they hear Falling Awake, they hear something that's not quite what we're up to. So I wanted to make it more obvious to people and to leaders what we were doing. And more than that, I wanted it to be more obvious to me, so that every time I looked at our work, I knew that what I was there to do was to move leadership forward. But I know this is kind of a long answer, Joanne, and I won't keep answering so long, but I want to say that the third reason, or the third motive I had for making this shift, is I love to invent. And that's why I work. Work to invent. And after working with Falling Awake for so long, I felt like I was beginning to just repeat what I've invented. And I wanted a new format. And so that's the leadership.
Thank you. And how do you see that it'll be different from Falling Awake?
Well, in a lot of ways. I think mostly is that that Falling Awake is really all about asking people to improve the quality of their life. Now, of course, one way they improve the quality of their life is to focus on, we said, the 10 to 15 or 12 to 15 most important people in their life. But the focus was on improvement in quality of life. And now the focus is on improving your leadership. Now, of course, one strategy in improving your leadership is to improve the quality of your life. It's even one of my best strategies. But there's other important strategies, lots and lots of them. I think also that Falling Awake left out some people who considered the name just too new age and too self-reflective. And certainly I'm still asking people to be self-reflective. But it's self-reflective in the service of being an outstanding leader.
Great. Thank you. I am going to turn this over to Bill, but I wanted to be able to call on some people first and get their questions about this shift from Falling Awake to leadership. So if you'd like to ask Dave a question about this shift, please raise your hand. And also someone has been very patient here from the Los Angeles area. So it's area code 212. And I'd like to invite you to ask
212
David.
Is actually Manhattan. And
oh, it is? Oh, thank you.
My name is Taylor. And Dave,
hi,
I have
Taylor.
A question for you. How are you?
My question is,
I'm on this call even though I don't feel as though I am, I feel as though leadership is being thrust upon me. Through my work, people look to me as to lead, but I'm not in charge of a corporation. I'm not in charge of a group. And can you just speak a little bit about the call to leadership when you don't necessarily – can you be called to leadership if you don't necessarily have a group of people that you are leading yet?
Yeah, and particularly you, Taylor. When I saw that you'd signed up for this call, I was really thrilled because, to me, you are one of the more influential leaders that I know. Many of you don't know Taylor, but I would encourage you to go to his website or Google Taylor Malley, because he's a poet, and he's a poet who talks about the value of education. And to me, Taylor, you are one of the more influential leaders around because you speak to people in a way that delves deeply into their heart and their soul with your poetry, and they change. They change into the direction that you want them to. So, me, you're absolutely a leader.
Got it. All
and
right,
you have
well.
People that you lead. You may not talk about it because maybe they don't pay you to, well, and they do pay you to lead. You know, they hire you. And they hire you to come in and speak to them and move them, and you lead them. Something else, Taylor?
No, no, I like that.
Okay.
Dave,
great.
Bill Rentz.
Go ahead, Bill.
Taylor brought up a great question, and I think there might be others on this call that are wondering if they're a leader. And so I'm wanting you to, I'd like for you to speak to that a little more and kind of define what you see as a leader.
Well, to me, leadership is when you want something so much that you're willing to ask others to want it and to spend their time or money or energy to achieve it. So now, I know that this is not the definition that some of you immediately jump to, but this is my definition. Is a leader is a person who wants something so much that they're willing to ask other people to also want it and to spend time and money or energy to achieve it. I see that Heidi's got a question, and Heidi, go ahead and
make
a comment.
Bill kind of asked the question, and I appreciate your sharing about leadership because I was thinking about that. And so I was wondering if it's more about kind of becoming leaven or a catalyst or an inspire, in other words, some of what you have said. But anyways, and I forgot what Bill said about how to undo ourselves.
But 62. Nice to hear you, Heidi. Thanks for.
So either way, if you want to expound further or if you want to decide that Bill already asked.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, again, it's that for me, when you want something and you're willing to get others to assist you to get it, you're a leader. Now, I think one of the best ways you can assist them to get, to help you, is to get them to want it. So to be in a way and speak in a way and act in a way so that people around you will want that thing that you want, that you're taking a leadership position in.
Dave, I think we're segueing into the leadership conversation. I had just one more question before we go there. Can you speak to how Falling Awake will still be available, and if Falling Awake will still be available to people who have taken it or people who want to take a Falling Awake workshop?
Yeah, I still love the Falling Awake workshop, and I want it to be available to all of you. And it will still be available on video. We've got DVDs and videotapes of the Falling Awake workshop. It's available on audio tape, which is my favorite product that we sell. It's a 14 disc that you can play. One chapter is devoted to each of the 12 success strategies in Falling Awake, and that's still available. The website's still available with the wake-up call, the life planning program, the journaling system. The book is still available. And we're also looking at starting a Falling Awake facilitator training program. I know that several people, even on this call, because I see who's on the call, I know that a couple of you have done Falling Awake courses in your community. And you do them with the videotape, and you do them with your history with me, and please continue to do that. And we're looking at starting a training program for any of the rest of you that would like to do that. So I know that mostly what we want to do today is talk about leadership, so we're going to switch there. But before we switch, would you look to see, do you have a question about this transition? If you have a question about the transition, please electronically raise your hand with a *61, and we'll answer your question. Start with a question from Pam Morris. Go ahead, Pam.
I sense that you're not trying to be prescriptive with, you know, telling people what they're supposed to believe in or what they're supposed to lead. It's an open thing. And when you give the definition, leadership is wanting something so much that they are willing to ask others to spend time or money to achieve it. When I think of all the positive things that we learned in the seminar and all the positive things we got in touch with wanting, I think that's a perfect definition. But when I think of maybe people that might, different cults and different Hitler, you know, he wanted something and got a lot of people to follow him. I wonder if there's an extra loop that has to go in there without being prescriptive. Something about having light rather than shadow in it.
Yeah. Thanks, Pam. I'm. You're right. I don't want to be prescriptive. As a matter of fact, on this call, on the next calls, in the trainings that I do, in our coaching, one of the main things, our main emphasis, is on asking people to invent, to create. So in this case, I'm asking all of you to create your definition of what is a leader. Because from my definition, you're all leaders. Because you have committed to something, you want something, and you want it so much that you're willing to ask other people in your family or in your church or your community or in your school system, you're willing to ask people for their time and money and energy to help you get it. So I think you're leaders, but I don't want to prescribe that. I want you to invent what your definition of a leader is. And that's what we'll do on these calls. I'm really wanting to speak in a way that you invent. Thanks, Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else, before we just talk about leadership, anything, any other questions about this transition, about what it may mean to you and your the coaching that you've gotten from us in the past? We are still continuing the Life Coach training program. We might merge that into a leadership coach training program, but at this point, it's still what we call a Life Coach training program. Well, I'm still
also, our coaching is the same. We still coach from the principles of Falling Awake. So for those of you that have gotten coaching from us or want to purchase coaching or have a coach, we still coach from the fundamentals of Falling Awake.
In addition to this telecourse, I'm still going to be doing trainings 5 times a year. I'll offer 5. I'll talk more about those at the end of this call. I'm also writing a new book on leadership. It's a series of books, a series of short books on leadership. I'll start with a book on leaders and money, and then a book on leaders and stress, a book on leaders and problem solving, and those are the 3 topics, by the way, of the upcoming training. But now let's just shift to those calls and comments on leadership itself. And Bill, thanks for your question about how do you define a leader. And any other questions now in general from you, Bill, or Joanne, or anybody on the call about how I see leadership? I got 2 great ideas I want to present.
Yeah, Dave, I got another quick one. I noticed on your invitation, you had a question called leadership starting with QQ or QOL. I don't know. I'm sorry. I just didn't understand what that meant. Could you please explain that?
Well, you weren't the only one, and I'm sorry. I thought I used an abbreviation that was very standard. QOL is quality of life, and that's that's my best. One of my best ideas, I think, and it's somewhat controversial, but what I'm recommending to all of you leaders, because I think that's everybody that's on the call, is that when you put your focus out there, you first of all focus on improving the quality of life for everyone around you. So as a leader, whether you're leading in business or education or in the nonprofit community or in your family or in your community, as a leader, you look at quality of life for the people that you are leading. And how do you know who you're leading? It's because it's who you say you're leading. People don't become leaders because other people say they're the leader. They become leaders because they say they're the leader. Martin Luther King Jr. stood up and said, I'm going to lead the civil rights movement. He didn't get assigned to it. He didn't get elected to it. All the great leaders self-appoint. And that's what I'm recommending that you do, is self-appoint who you're the leader of. What group are you leading? And if somebody else is already that self-appointed leader or has been elected that leader, doesn't mean you can't still lead from the inside out. I don't think leaders have to worry about an organizational chart where you're at the top and you lead down. That's an old style of leadership. The kind of leadership I'm talking about is no matter where you are on the organizational chart that was drawn by someone else, that you see yourself as a leader and you redraw the chart from the center out. And then from that place, you focus on the quality of life and improving the quality of life of the people that you lead. Now, let's say, for example, that you're leading an organization dedicated to the end of hunger on the planet. Well, of course, you lead people that are assigned to you. Those are some of the people you lead. And I'm recommending that you focus on their quality of life. And that's where your primary focus be. Now, you know, some people, I can imagine you'd say, well, wait a minute. I've got to get this job done less, cheaper because I've got a limited budget. Or I've got to get the job done better or faster. I mean, that's what most leaders are focused on, faster, better, cheaper. But I'm not just recommending in a nonprofit organization. I'm even recommending in a for-profit organization if you have a leadership role. And part of what you've been focusing on is either getting it done faster or better or cheaper. Better meaning higher customer service, cheaper meaning that you come within your budget, make more of a profit, or faster meaning you get it out to more people. Well, I'm recommending that you no longer focus there, that instead you focus on improving the quality of life of your coworkers, of the people who report to you, of your boss. You even focus on improving the quality of life of your suppliers and, of course, of your customers or the people you serve. You focus on improving the quality of life even of your competitors. And as a consequence of that focus, I claim that the job will get done faster, better, and cheaper because people nowadays are too sophisticated to come to work for the paycheck. Now, I know most people do come to work for the paycheck, but I think they come to work for something much bigger than that, which is to be a part of a mission of your organization. And if a big part of that mission of your organization is improving the quality of life of all the people around you, I claim if you put your focus there, you actually will end up, whatever you're doing, you'll do it faster because people around you will be way more motivated. You'll do it cheaper because they'll work more efficiently, and you'll get the job done better. So that's my idea. That's one of my two best ideas today for improving leadership, which is that you take your focus off faster, better, cheaper, and you put your focus on improving the quality of life for the people around you. Now, because that was kind of a long answer, what I'd like to do is I'd like to stop for a minute. And I'd like to have you think about what I've just said and see if you can write down something on how that will affect your leadership. This is a part of the exercise. I'm going to be quiet for 30 seconds. I know a couple of you have raised your electronic hand, and that's fine. I'll call on you after this exercise. During this next 30 seconds, I'd like you to think about what I've just said and see if there would be some way that you could reinvent that idea and apply it in your life where you're a leader. I'll be quiet now for 30 seconds. Please write. All right, I'd like to hear from a couple of you and what you wrote. For that, I'm going to call on this person from San Francisco area. Please say your name and then your comment or your question.
Dave, I was taken aback by competitor and focusing on competitors' well-being would assist me in, you know, serving my clients and customers. Can you expand on that a bit more?
Yeah, I think it just does not make sense to try and decrease the quality of life for anybody. And when I first started operating College Survival, which just became wildly successful financially, one of the first things we took on was to not compete with our competitors, but rather to assist them. So we were selling a book, and we would bring our competitors' books to the workshops and lay them out and let them advertise their books. We would invite our competitors to our events and had them present. Because what I believe is that whoever you all define as your competitors are probably people that are just trying to accomplish the same job you are. They're trying to serve the same population that you're trying to serve. So I don't think that it ever works to say to those people in any kind of a way that you want them to not do as good a job. But rather you want to do what you can to assist them to even do a better job. I realize that's an unusual idea, and give it a shot. And from the area code 503, go ahead. Name and calling from North Central Kentucky. Or no, from Oregon. 503 is Oregon. I didn't have you registered, so please say your name and your question. Go ahead. No, maybe that person didn't want to ask a question. Somebody else, any other comments or questions about that first idea before I turn this back to Bill or Joanne, and other questions about leadership? Go ahead, Diane.
Hi, how are you? I was wondering whether there an associate.
Diane, I didn't hear. You said something like I was wondering, and then I didn't hear the last thing you said.
Sorry. Yes. I would say that to apply what you just said, should I ask my associates what would be an important priority that might affect their quality of life? I mean, if we're going to now shift to quality of life, then can we ask them? Because it might be subjective. For some people, it might be a little more money. Some other people, you know, might be a different location or whatever
exactly.
It is.
You got it, Diane. That's exactly what I'm recommending, is that when you shift to quality of life, the first thing that's naturally going to come up is just what you mentioned, which is asking people, what do they want to improve their quality of life? So you're then starting to ask the people around you, what do you want? You ask your customers, what do you want? You ask your coworkers, what do you want? You ask your boss, what do you want? And then once you really believe that you know what they want, then you can help improve the quality of their life. Thanks, Diane.
Great.
Dave, we got a question from Karen Kornblum. Hey, Karen.
Hello, this is so wonderful. Question is, what about yourself? Is that in you too? I mean, are you still, I love focusing on the people around you and what's happened to me is when I don't focus on myself and just focus on the people around me, I get in big trouble.
Right. No, I think it's really important, Karen, to keep your focus on yourself, too. This is that I think leaders, a great leader, will focus on improving quality of life for everyone, including herself and himself. But that's where we put the focus, not on faster, better, and cheaper. Good question, Karen. Thanks.
Yeah.
Bob Katie, I see you have a call, a question.
Hey, actually, it's Kate Meyer. Yahoo has messed up my name, but that, Dave, I think it's a great approach and a great approach to leadership and great definition. I can see lots of applicability in many areas of my life, but relative to the corporate world, do you have any kind of results or, you know, some kind of justification that my management team can look at, evaluate, so they can buy in and support this? Or is this another one of those programs where you'll have to be, you know, going kind of covert and going it alone?
Well, I don't think covert's ever a very good idea. And to me, the what I have to test this idea is my experience in the organization that I ran and continue to run, and the success of that organization. And our focus has not been on faster, better, cheaper. It's been on improving the quality of life among the group. So that's the. There's no studies that I know of that is going to prove that this works. And it's only one of the many, many hundreds of ideas I have about how to improve your leadership. It's just the one I wanted to start with today.
Well, it's definitely the most provocative, and I really like it.
Oh, thanks. Debbie Smith, go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is Debbie. I just want to make a comment. I just think this is super, especially improving the quality of your life of your competitor, because I could see this being a domino effect. Because as we improve someone else's life, they're going to reach out to improve someone else's life. So
yeah.
I just think this is a great, just a great idea of leadership. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. Jamie Mackey.
Hi. I don't know how qualified I am to speak on anything based on the fact I'm up here in a snowstorm in Canada. But I had an experience as a child, and that was growing up in a sort of average-sized family at the time with my brother and sisters. And I look back on it, the experience, and I had only, I can probably count them on one hand, what I'd call one-on-one experiences with my parents, or my dad particularly. And they're, whatever, nothing particular really happened that I think would be considered extraordinary as far as transfer of knowledge, but just the being with somebody on one-on-one, it was a real important thing. And I think in the workplace, there's, you know, we have a lot of group meetings, we have a lot of committees or whatever things that happen, but very rarely, it seems, are there, you know, other than maybe a quarterly or annual review of performance, that kind of thing, where you sit down and scrutinize what you're doing or get feedback on what is going on. And I think it's really important to, and it's a kind of a recognition of how important people are in an organization if the leader has time to spend with people, hear them individually. And often people are reluctant or shy or cautious to speak out in groups, and they're much more open or feel more confident in a one-on-one type situation.
Yeah, I think great. It's like that's to me one of the most effective ways to lead is one-on-one, and because that personal interaction makes a big difference with people. I want to get. I realize that several more of you have raised your hands, and I'm going to call on several of you. But first of all, I do want to get to my second idea of the day about leadership. And of course, the first one is to focus on quality of life, and the second one is to put your attention more on yourself and on changing you than on changing the people you lead. Now, I realize that this is almost seems counterintuitive or backwards, because so often when I listen to leaders and I talk to them, they're always talking about how they want to get other people to be different. You know, political leaders are saying, I want people to vote different. And educational leaders are saying, I want students to behave differently in the classroom. And religious leaders are wanting people to behave different morally. And people in government are wanting, you know, everybody in their nonprofit organization, they're putting their attention on the people they lead and how they want them to change. Now, of course, some of that's good. I recommend you put maybe 10, at the most 20%. Of your attention there. But then put the rest of your attention on how you're going to change, on how you want to change. Because putting your attention on the people that you're leading and putting 90% or more of your attention on the people that you're leading, to me it's like an archer who puts all of his attention on the target. Now, I realize that this old adage of keep your eye on the ball, but hear me out here because I think this is different. What I think you want to keep your eye on is how you hold, back to the archer analogy, how you hold the bow, how you pull back the string, how you manage your breath. And then you look and see at the target. So in this case, as a leader, I'm recommending you put most of your attention on what you're doing, how you're being, what your attitudes, on the circumstances that you create around yourself. And then you put 10% of your attention to see, did the quality of life of the people around you go up? Or did the people around you start working harder, even? Did they start voting the way you wanted them to vote? Did they start speaking in the way you wanted them to speak? Did they start selling products in the way you wanted them to sell? So, of course, you'll look and check to see if the people that you're leading changed. But then you put the bulk of your attention on what you can do differently, how you can speak differently, what circumstances you can change around you that are different, what kind of attitude you can adjust to within yourself. So there's my thought on shifting, and now I want to go back and hear from some of you again.
I'd like to give Shay Adelson a chance to ask a question. Shay, go ahead. Oops, maybe she's left. You might have your mute on, Shay.
I do. Hi. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Shay.
Joanne.
Hi.
Sorry, I was talking to myself with mute. I had two things came up. One is that I wanted to thank you for making such a strong request for us to be inventive, because I'm noticing as you talk how I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm like, well, Dave is saying it, so it must be true. And I'm really excited to integrate this, what you're saying, and all the things you'll be saying over the next four classes. So thank you for starting with that.
Yeah, you're welcome, Shay. I mean, that's the main purpose of why I want to be with all of you, is not to get my good thinking, and I'm going to do my best to give you my best thinking, but for me to speak in a way that sparks your creativity, sparks your invention.
It's awesome.
And particularly something that you'll invent and then commit to so that you're more effective as a leader. Keep going, Shay.
So the thing that came up for me is how, well, and both of these ideas are causing this for me, but how, I mean, a few people have commented on that being a good leader, and I'm imagining some of your ideas will probably be about listening and a lot of other kind of tactical things, but I feel this vulnerability in myself as I'm thinking about this. You know, something I'd like to do, you know, and I'm a new mom and I'm not working out in the world right now, but I'd like to clean up our park. We live on this great park, and I just perseverate about cleaning up this park and rallying my neighborhood to do this, and I have all kinds of excuses and reasons not to. And when someone said, "Oh, does this mean we get to ask our associates what they want?" And I think this is kind of turning a belief I've had, and I didn't know I had it quite so clearly until now, that I thought I had to have all the answers in order to lead. Like I need to have it all planned out and all perfect, and I'm inspired and still feeling a little vulnerable, but inspired that I don't have to know it all. I can actually just have this idea of wanting to clean up the park, and I don't need to know how to do it yet.
Right.
And that maybe
yeah.
someone else will have some really great ideas and tools and
Yeah, see, I don't think, Shay, any powerful leader knows how they're going to get the job done when they take it on. So you don't need to know either. No, it's not a thing that we know. I think if you just go out there with that commitment and then keep looking at yourself, if you follow this idea that I'm presenting, and what can you say differently? What can you do differently? What can you create differently so that people will start to rally around you and get the park handled? And it's really, you're focusing about what you're going to do, and, of course, then you look out there to see if it's happening. Are people rallying around? Nope. Well, then you come back to yourself and say, well, what else could I do? How else could I adjust my attitude? What other little circumstances could I change so that people rally around? And then you change that, and then you look out there again. Are people rallying around to get the park handled? And if they aren't, you come back to yourself. And even if they are, you come back to yourself and say, now what else can I do about myself?
Yeah.
And you'll never know how to do it until after you've done it. And then it won't matter anyway.
Got it. I get
it. Thanks a lot, Shay.
Thank you.
Well, Dave, it's, we're moving through this call so fast, I think we want to move to our next segment, which is about our training coming up in June and about the leadership series. Can you say a little bit about what this leadership series is?
Well, what I'm looking for is to attract some of you into a year-long program and to be with me on all the workshops that I and all the trainings that I do. Like four or five of the trainings that I'm going to do in the next year, I'd love to have you join me, along with some mentoring and some coaching. Now, those of you who have been with us for a while understand my distinction between mentoring and coaching. Up till now, the only thing we've offered mentoring about is how to be a life coach. And now we're also going to offer mentoring about leadership. So we'll offer mentoring about leadership, one-on-one coaching about leadership, and these works, these trainings that we've been calling workshops and now we're calling trainings. And we're going to be offering those, and I'd love to have you participate. There's more about that at DaveEllisLeadership.com. But I want to focus in on the training that's going to be June 1, 2, and 3. And what we'll be primarily looking at is how leaders can effectively deal with money and stress and problems. Now, I've had a lot of people tell me that's not a very positive trio, but the trio that we hear from most people is most important, is what can I do to deal effectively with money in my organization and in my life? And if I don't have, a lot of you as leaders, you don't have an organization, but you've got money. Other people's monies, there's your money. How do we most effectively deal with that? And then about stress, because in this world in which we live, particularly when you take on a leadership role, when you say, I want something and I'm going to do my best to get other people to want it and to assist me to get it, I'm going to try and get people to spend their time and their energy or their money or all three, that can put you in a very stressful situation. So we'll deal with that. How to deal with that, and really how to live a calm and relaxed life, no matter how stressful it is. Live a calm and relaxed life, no matter how stressful the circumstances around you. And then solving problems, both in your own life and assisting people that you lead to solve problems. So that's what we're going to do in June. But before June, we've got these four calls. And this is the first call. And the next call is going to focus on money, and the next call is going to focus on stress, and the last call will focus on problem solving.
Dave, one other question I have, or I've heard from people, is if people have read the Falling Awake workshop or books, and they've been to the workshops, is this next training going to be different?
Yeah, absolutely. It's this. I'm not kidding about this shift. My work really has evolved a lot, and I've been very busy creating, and I invite you back. There's just a lot of new material that's not in my books, it's not in tapes, and the focus of my work up till now has been on assisting you to improve the quality of your life. And, of course, we won't exclude that now. But I want to add something that's bigger than that in the focus, which is to improve your ability to create something that isn't now. That's what I think leaders do. Leaders create something that isn't now. Now, I know there's more questions about the upcoming workshop or maybe the calls, but I just see all these little electronically raised hands, so I want to call on a few more. Taylor, I know you made a comment already, but I'd like to hear from you again. Go ahead.
Oh, there's so many things I want to say, and I need to keep myself from just talking and let you talk. I just went to your website. I love the fact that you say, if you are not completely satisfied, I'll give you all of your money back. I just think that's such a bold stroke there. And it's very heartening to me, knowing a little bit about you, that you're not doing this for the money. You really don't need the money. You are really trying to make an improvement in the rest of the world. And I just wanted to say that these two secrets, these two ideas that you have, first about focusing on improving the quality of life of everyone around you, and secondly about spending less of your attention on how you can change the people you want to follow, and how you can, and focusing that attention on how you can change yourself. They're so intuitive, and they are so much what I have been looking for. As I think her name was Shay, the new mother, said, she felt she needed to have all of the answers, and you don't. You really don't. And but there is that part of you that thinks, well, people are going to be looking to me for answers, so maybe one of the ways that I can improve myself is, you know, maybe I need to do some research. And I know that that's what I need to do. People are going to be looking to me for ideas about how we can fix education in this country. And so far, all I've been able to say is, well, you know, I don't have the answers, but I know the first step is to get together all the people who do. But
yeah.
I think maybe the next step for me is, well, you know what? Go do some research and get some of the answers yourself and try them out.
Yeah, thanks, Taylor. And that's really what I'm trying to get people to do on these calls. So thanks for doing it. You're doing exactly what I want everybody on the call to do. You're inventing answers on your own now to how you can be a more powerful leader. And I just want to speak to what you mentioned, this money back guarantee. It's a brand new thing for us. We've never had that before, and we've now put it out in print. As Taylor mentioned, it's on the website. I just want to explain it to each of you. Like on these calls, well, they're free, so there's no money back guarantee. But the workshop that's coming up in June, it's $1,000. If you come to the workshop, and if you are not completely satisfied, if you attend the workshop and participate fully in the workshop, and you're not completely satisfied, we'll give you your money back. Similarly, we have this other year-long, 14-month-long program I told you about, and I haven't given you much details about it, but it's $20,000. Now, I know that's a lot of money, but one of the things we promise is that it will be the single most powerful professional growth experience that you've ever purchased. That it will be the single most powerful professional and personal growth experience of your life. And if it isn't, we'll give you your money back. Now, why in the world? Well, because it puts us on the spot too. And we feel that confident in what we're providing. So if you're not just completely happy, you get your money back. And Taylor, you're right. I'm not doing it for the money. I think many of the people on this call, I've shared this with lots of people, I haven't gotten a paycheck for 14 years, and I don't get benefits either. I don't get profit sharing. I don't get any compensation, financial compensation for doing this work, and I don't plan to for the rest of my life. And I do it because I want to assist each of you to invent. Thanks, Taylor.
Well, Dave, I want to take a moment and let people know how to reach.
Joanne, I just somehow you cut off there. I think don't know why you cut off, but you were saying you want to take a moment to tell people how to reach us. You want to know more about these courses, this telecourse or our workshop. Of course, you can go to DaveEllisLeadership.com. That's my newest website. You can email me at Dave@DaveEllisLeadership.com, or you can call Bill or Joanne.
Yeah, Dave, I'd like to give my number because I think another possibility here is there's several, I notice there's several people that have questions that haven't been answered, and we probably won't get to them. So if you want to ask a question about anything, including the packages or workshops, you can call me, Bill Rentz, at 605-390-2343. And I'm going to make myself available for at least a half hour after this call. So if your question's urgent or if there's just something you want to chat with me about, feel free to give me a call after we're done here.
Joanne,
also
yep, I'm here, Dave. I got knocked.
And Joanne might have got knocked off again. So here's Joanne's phone number, 605-390-2275. Joanne Bang, 605-390-2275. And I do want to take some more calls here, though. This next call, please say your name and where you're calling from, and then your comment or your question. Just unmuted. Try this again. Still working out our kinks in our system.
Yep, Dave, I got knocked off the call a second time,
ahead.
But I'm here.
I'm taking a question, Joanne.
Great. Good.
Somebody in San Francisco.
Well, it's me again. I hope I'm not taking two turns here. It's Pam Morris.
You get two turns, Pam.
Okay. Well, I don't even know how to talk. It's such incredible ground shifting transformational perspective. It reminds me of in the workshop falling awake when you said instead of judging or measuring things for do you like it or do you agree with it, measure for what's good in it or what can you use or you know what can you take from it. And that single thing right there has transformed my life, and I can feel the same thing starting to happen on an emotional level first with these two pieces of information you've just given us. And when you say to, even have our competitors win, in business there's so many sayings like nice guys finish last or dog eat dog or business is business, that in order to shift from that, it's almost like being a rose and only having thorns. And so to shift from having to deal with the concept of a threat and protection to actually put your attention on the perfume and the beautiful blossom and the just the pleasure of that gorgeous life force just exploding is really a shift from fear-based thinking to joy-based thinking. And I mean, it's like, yes,
thanks.
Yes.
We're headed. Thanks. I really appreciate that. It's that's exactly where we're headed, and I invite you all to join us again on the next call. The next call will be Wednesday, April 30th. I said it was about money, but the next call is about stress. The title is Staying Calm in a Stress-Filled Environment. It's Wednesday, April 30th at this same time. And then Monday, May 12th, Reaching Financial Independence. I really do think we can. I think it's a short road. Monday, May 26th is the last call in this series. It's Viewing Your Job as a Problem Solver. So those are the next three calls. If you have friends who'd like to join us, please let them know that they can email me, dave@daveellisleadership.com, and I'll send the link so that they can download this first call to their iTunes account. And if any of you have problems doing that, it should be out there in about 5 minutes. If you just link on what I sent you in that earlier email, or if you didn't get that earlier email, just email me and I'll send it to you. Realize that there are still five people that have raised their hands and we didn't get to them, and I apologize for that. We will do even more of this interaction on the next calls. those of you who have been with us before, you know we've got a new system here. We're adjusting to it. I think it worked very well, and I'm really thank all of you for making comments and for a bunch more of you raising your hand. And as I said, we'll get to you again. Thank you for being here. This is an exciting new leap for me into this area that I've been interested in about for the last 20 years, and that is what we can do to improve our leadership, because I think it's time. When I look out there in the world and see the people that are leading, I think instead you people should be the ones leading. And I want to have you that have clear desire about the future that you want, a future that's going to be great for all of us, to assume those leadership positions, teach yourself whatever you need to know to be a qualified leader, and then take off in that direction. Thank you very much for joining me and Bill and Joanne on this call. And we will talk to most of you again on our next call, April 30th, Wednesday at this same time. Thank you and
good
night.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Dave.
Yep. Thank you all. Bye-bye.